Thank you very much. And I would like to also say thank you for this invitation. I was in this same room 3 years ago, 2019, when our open-air National Open Access Desk from University of Debrecen with Gyonki Karachon, if I pronounce it well, and Judith is in the room somewhere here, Judith Fazerak Parag, they had the national event where it was for the first time that they brought people from Hungary and the actors together. And it's really nice to see, you know, after that event 3 years ago, is what the presentation from the morning, from this morning, and how Hungary is going full speed in open science. So this is great. So what I will be talking about is open air services through the Nexus project. The Nexus is a project funded by the European Commission, and it's funding the operations of main open air and open scholarly communication services. 11 partners, very well oiled machinery working. I will not go into the project, but I will be presenting the services. For us, just to give you a background of open air, it's mainly moving about from scholarly communication the way we know it now to an open scholarly communication. Because from this morning we hear about computing, about HPC, about all of these things that are really useful now in this data-intensive science. But we are forgetting, you know, a lot about, or we're not forgetting, we're just, you know, putting aside for a bit, the way that researchers work and they collaborate together. And this is for us, the what is at stake here is a transition to an open system that supports diversity, equity, and inclusion. And that's, you know if you come and think about it, this is what the UNESCO Open Science Initiative is about. And it's also about, you know, giving access to machinery, giving access to data, giving access to all of us in Europe. Just before I go on, just a few facts and ingredients on how we think and how we perceive on how to make open science happen. So, researchers are in the center, so everyone is talking about researchers and some questions in the morning, but I'm not sure where researchers, when we are building this infrastructure, they come into play. We are all struggling to get researchers on board, because there is the long tail of science, there is the big science, and there is this huge chunk in between that researchers are doing things. So what are they interested in? They are interested in connecting, discovering, processing, and analyzing, and not assessing, but mostly on being assessed. Then, in order to make open science work, we need services that target all actors of the R&I ecosystem. So it's not just researchers. It's also the operators, the enablers of research, which you can be library, research administrators, operators, funders, and also the evaluators of research. The evaluators of research that they care about the policies, the evaluation of policies, the evaluation of research in excellence, the innovation, all of these things that we know about. And then when we start from the basics, we should start from the basics because interoperability is the key. Everyone is talking about it, so it seems like it's the holy grail. And what, in this context, what we believe is that EOSC is an excellent mobilizer. By the way, this is an older version of the slide, so I'm trying to come up with what I wanted to say, is an excellent mobilizer and an accelerator of open science. So taking things beyond the static things of what is there. Interoperability. Really old version of the slide. So interoperability is about connecting, is about it's about connecting. So what are the guidelines for content providers? This is something that OpenAI has been working on since before our inception, due to some projects, European projects before OpenAI, the OpenAI interoperability guidelines. We have a set of guidelines, which is a metadata framework plus how to do share with best practices and protocols, data of all kinds for literature, because don't forget that publications is also data, especially when we talk about text and data mining, for data repositories, for software, for research products, others than data and software, for CRIS systems, and for usage statistics. So we have all of these guidelines that what we are saying is that they are part of the EOSC rules of participation for content providers. They are not the only ones, but they are a good part. And what we see is that they have a global adoption around the world. South America, the States now are considering on doing that. Canada has, and it's getting a global adoption. And what we want to do it soon, the guidelines, is because it's, you know, EOSC is European, but research and infrastructure is global, is we aim to have it an open community project. I don't have my slides here, so I sent you the very old how can I do it so that I can have my PC. Can you take a break? Because the PowerPoint has somehow crashed and it will not save. I thought I was saving and it hasn't saved it. Okay, so if I give you some numbers, hopefully that I have a good presentation here. So if I give some numbers on the interoperability. So what we have is we have about 3,000 repositories from RE3 data and OpenDoor. In OpenAIR, we have validated about 35% of it. It's fine, don't worry. Okay, good, okay. We have validated 35% on it. And just to get you an idea on how we work with Europe from the NIFOS countries and areas, we have validated, according to the OpenAIR guidelines, about 300 repositories, institutional repositories and data repositories. And what we consider, because we are part of EOSC Future, we consider that to be already onboarded on EOSC, according to the guidelines, and we will be waiting for new rules of participation and things for let me see what I have. Okay, that kind of work. So I will go between the two, okay? Bear with me. So this is, so just to wrap up, is that the guidelines, what we consider is a metadata framework, which is important on how to share data, to exchange data on the metadata level at the minimal level. Okay? Then we have open-air services. So open-air services, in a nutshell, as Eleni said, we're going to on three dimensions. First is about tracking open science, then it's discovering open research, and then third is monitoring open research. Why do we consider this to be important? Because first of all, open air is about open scholarly communication and open science. So reproducibility, transparency is very important to us. So understanding the context where research is coming from is very important. Then how about, you know, how do we discover? Now, if you come to open air or to many of the search engines, you're just doing keywords. And researchers, you know, have gone beyond that already. There are services out there that, you know, provide intelligent search, and this is where we are going. And monitoring of open research is it's very important, because what we want to do is monitor the openness and open sciencesness of science. Why? Because this is part now of the new next generation metrics and the new research assessment. So I will just present briefly the open air services. And this is something that shows that our services, they span most of the research life cycle. So we don't have process and analyze apart from the mining services that we offer, but we touch upon interoperability, outreach, assess, discovery, manage data, publishing. Those are the services that that we have. Another image of the same services is that this is the portfolio of services. So if you go on the top, these are the services mainly that I've tried to categorize for the content providers, how they can exchange their, how they can be onboarded into this open scholarly communication ecosystem or open science ecosystem or EOSC. Then we have a set of services for researchers where they deposit, they use their data management plans, they discover anonymized data, publish in journals, and Open Plato is the newly platform that we are launching for training. And then we have services that could be used for monitoring and tracking of various services. So this is, now we have this new catalog, so you can go and visit them. What is important to understand is that, and I'm not going to go into this and explain it, but what is important to understand is that when we're building a service, because this is an interconnected system, is we are trying to connect each service to the other. For example, Episciences and Zenodo just feed into the open air graph. The open air graph is the central system. Argos is reading information from the graph, so it helps people to build their DMPs. Argos is also will be linked to the metadata validator. So that means is that while a researcher is getting their DMP, they will be able to assess it. The broker is a service. I'm just, you know, going on randomly by the on this. Is the broker is a service that is allowing notification among repository managers to see, you know, what is published out there. When it should belong to my repository or to my institution. So this is something that is how we view the world. Interconnection. We're talking about TRL 8 and 9, and I agree with René what he said this morning is, you know, going from the development phase to the production phase is really crucial. And I think EOSC is one of the enablers to help us understand this. What does it mean to have a service in production? And then also, if you see the red, the third party services, is that these services are not by OpenAIR, the organization, but members of OpenAIR, and we are just including them in our portfolio because the community likes them. So some numbers. I don't have the numbers. I just have I have the numbers here. Some numbers about the use of our services. So we have the AAI. Okay, let me go back here. It's used by 24,000 users are logging into our services, even though many of our services do not require login. So this is, you know, this is a good number. In Zenodo, we have 200K users that have shared 66 petabytes of data. Amnesia, which is an anonymization service, has about 15,000 visits, but 450 downloads, which many of them lead to installations. Argos is the new DMP service that has 1,200 people making their DMPs. In Provide, which is the way that we are getting the data into the graph, we have 2,500 almost data sources registered and validated, and we are generating 25 million brokering events, notification from repository to repository. The usage count is the clicks and downloads. We count the usage metrics of repositories. So we have now 500 repositories into the system, capturing about a bit less than a billion downloads. We have Explore, which is the discovery service, but it's not just the discovery service. It allows people to come and link things together using the AI. So we have about 2,000 users claiming 60,000 research results to about 2K projects. And then we have 35 claims. Those numbers that I'm telling you are just in the last year to ORCID. So people are using the services to just, claim their own. So it appears in their CV somehow. So this is what I was trying to say, is that make the services worthwhile. Then we have open citations with 1.3 billion citations out in the open, with 82 million API requests for this year. We have 40 dashboards that we have, I would say 40 organizations approaching open air having 40 dashboards for connect and monitor. And we have, with Episciences, 25 journals, 10,000 users, and in the last year, 500 submissions of papers. Then the graph is what we, is the main thing, is we have 150 million publications linked to about 18 million research data items, and this is a question mark here, with a link to 300,000 software items from 110 data sources, because in the 2,000 sources we also get from aggregators, linked to projects and organizations, and this is one of the things that we want to is in our core business. So where do we see, this is not the good picture, but you need to bear with me, is this open air and the EOSC. Where do we, fit in? So okay, that's fine. So what you will see, what you were supposed to see in the middle, is the open air research graph, okay? Now we have this with a new logo and everything with the EOSC Association. So on the right side, what we have are the guidelines for content providers of all types. So what we consider is that these guidelines is the entry to the EOSC of content providers. They come into that. We have the graph. We get information in the graph from all over the world. And then what we do is we have a bunch of dashboards there, customized dashboard for the communities, and also for other communities. And we have services like Argos, Amnesia, and Zenodo, and Episciences for researchers. So all of this is interconnected together. Now, what we see is that the European Open Science was that that is a picture from about 2 to 3 years ago, that it was in the center. Now, what we consider in, as part of our work in EOSC Future is that our work is mostly from in the center, but also touching upon these guidelines. And I will be able to share the good slides with Nifos, and you can do it. That was my last. No, the one before the last slide. In the last slide that I have here is also the what we have done. We have done, and Ellie's here, we have done a lot of work in open air to take service by service and see what do we do about openness, what do we do about fairness, so it's like a self-assessment of ourselves and how do we contribute. So we have a list of services, all of the services, to say how we do, you know, for openness and fairness. And this is, I think this is, this was my last slide. And to be honest, I've never been in such a case before that I had to describe my slides in images like that. And what are the next steps? So the next steps is that what we are trying to do, not just with Nexus, but many of other funding, mainly European Commission funding, but also other funding, is to make services, first of all, simpler. Somebody said, you know, let's keep it simple. Simpler and, you know, for use by the researchers, by the regular researcher, not by the researcher who knows how to do, you know, who wants to log to Azure and get all the VMs. We aim at the average user. So more connected with the rest of the services, for example, with the DICE or EGI, but also more connected to the services that higher educational universities and research infrastructures have. So this is our goal. And also, last but not least, is the more intelligent, because the moment, you know, we have a big data infrastructure for scholarly communication, and the more the data is coming, the less, you know, the way we need to present it to the user needs to be much more intelligent. We need to put AI, and we have started already putting it on. Then also, what we aim to do is research assessment. This is a very big opportunity for our services to see how they can be applied onto the assessment exercise that DGRTD and other organizations are taking now. And last but not least, Elenium, you know, this is that what we think, and René, I think, is not here, that is needed in the community is to discuss about business models and revenue models. Because this is something, when you have a data center, it's somewhat, it's not easy, I know it's not easy, but it's somewhat easy in order to get your cost models and how you're making money or where you take the money from. But when you have soft services, this is getting tough, because when you have millions or thousands of users and you are supposed to be an open science service, this is what we need to think about, is what are the business models, what is considered free, what is considered, you know, who pays, and how do we go about it.